This is Breakfast on RN. As you heard Warwick Hadfield report earlier this morning, documents released under Freedom of Information laws are casting fresh doubt on Australia's most sensational sports doping scandal involving one of the AFL's star clubs, Essendon. You might remember that after a lengthy investigation, the club's senior coach, general manager and 34 players were suspended over the team's supplements program during the 2012 season. But the Herald Sun is reporting today that the drug at the centre of the scandal was only listed as banned the day before the Bombers self-reported to the AFL, the several months after the club stopped injecting players. Tracy Holmes is the host of ABC's The Ticket podcast. She's been following this story for a very long time. Tracy, good to have you back on Breakfast.
Thanks, Hamish.
Surprised by the revelations in these documents?
Not really. This whole saga, and as you say, it stretches back years, was always one that was fought in the shadows. And there was always doubt over allegations. There was always doubt over the many different, you know, rumours dressed up as fact, stemming all the way back to the Blackest Day in Australian Sport press conference, where the Australian public and the Australian media were led to believe that crime gangs had infiltrated sport on a massive scale, that doping was rife, and that all of these guilty parties had to come forward before the feds, so to speak, came and knocked on their door and took them away. As we know, nothing like that has ever been revealed. But two clubs did face intense scrutiny, and they were Essendon in the AFL and the Cronulla Sharks in the NRL.
So looking back, in your view, was that press conference nonsense?
The press conference, look, you know, many people have tried to surmise what it was all about. It came back to an Australian Crime Commission report that was done at the time that was looking into the potential for this sort of thing to happen, for crime gangs to infiltrate sport. We know that that gambling and money laundering are two issues that are circling around sport all the time. So the Crime Commission took a look at the loose ends, I suppose, and where these sorts of problems could exist in the future, the potential for things to turn bad. And the report they came up with basically suggested that these were the possibilities. But it was never reported that way. Exactly. It was never reported that these were the possibilities. It was reported that this is what has happened, and that, you know, we were all led to believe that, that sport was completely riddled with these sorts of issues.
Can you refresh our memories in relation to the specific drug that players were injected with, the supplement?
Well, even that is a matter for debate. So what they were charged with in the end and suspended was for using a drug called TB4, which was originally banned in what they call a catch-all category, and then was named specifically. But the players themselves argued that, and even the sports scientist who has since been rubbed out of all sport altogether, Stephen Dank, was that they were taking thymosin, which wasn't a banned substance. So there was all this kind of confusion around, well, what drug are we actually talking about? Was it banned or wasn't it? Was it on the banned list? So if a player logged on to ASADA here in Australia to see what was banned, they would not have seen that name. Mm. Now, to add to this, Hamish, I have to also express that in, you know, the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal, when they heard this, said they could not connect the links in the chain suitably enough to be able to say that these players were guilty of that. And they basically threw it out. Now, it was appealed by ASADA and WADA. That went to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, where they said, forget the links in the chain. This is about strands in the cable. And there are enough strands in the cable, i.e. rumour and circumspect evidence, to prove that they are all guilty, and the 34 players were suspended, some of whom had never had the injections in the beginning because they were afraid of needles.
This is genuinely incredible, Tracy.
It is, and it always has been.
I think it's worth stepping our listeners through some of this detail this morning about what these papers reveal. that thymosin beta-4 was only listed as a banned substance on the afternoon of February 4, 2013, which is the same day that Essendon was contacted about the secret investigation into the supplements program.
Exactly.
What does that tell us?
Well, that tells us that all the way along in this saga, that's just another example of people reacting, people trying to connect dots that didn't necessarily connect, people, you know, prosecuting different avenues in this whole big scandal. So I guess, you know, the story is everyone sort of focuses on Essendon, but if you step back and you have a look at the system, you look at the anti-doping system, you look at WADA and the WADA code, and that is the international body, and then that is looked after domestically by ASADA, and you see that, you know, it's been a work in progress, and unfortunately, a work in progress means that people are going to get caught in a system that has not properly been structured. There are loose ends all the way along. And then when doubt is cast, because we know that in sport, the athlete is held 100% responsible all the time, just making an accusation is almost as good as saying that person is guilty. And these are slurs that they can't come back from. And you look at individuals like Joe Watson, who had his Brownlow medal taken off him, which was an absolute disgrace. You look at people like the coach, James Hird, who in an exclusive interview on the ABC back then, you know, took responsibility for a program that should never have happened in the beginning, but nobody admitted that they were taking a banned substance. Nobody thought they were taking a banned substance. People had questioned this all the way along the line. You had him, you know, in later times trying to commit suicide. I mean, this is the devastation of a program and a system that has not properly been prosecuted and has not properly been designed. And it's a very big concern for athletes all around the world.
You have said that this is more than just about Essendon, but the careers of those 34 former Essendon players obviously are over. James Hird's career is essentially over in that sense. I mean, to what extent has this whole thing destroyed or ruined some people's livelihoods?
Totally. It's totally destroyed some people's lives. And I know people will look at this and go, it's only sport, get over it. You don't get over it because sport is like a closed shop. And sport is a very tight, you know, inverted commas, family circle. And once you have these sorts of allegations, what many people would consider pretty unfairly placed upon you, there is no coming back. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that nobody can give those lives back to those people. Nobody can give back their careers. So what has to happen is that it needs to be looked at very closely to make sure this sort of thing never happens again.
And I suppose the reality is that as big as this story was at the time, all of these revelations now will never be as big, will never capture as many headlines, will they?
Well, you know, they should. What really should happen is there should be a full and thorough investigation at a national level, at a political level. But you know that both sides of politics, Labor and Liberal, have skeletons in the closet here that they don't want revealed. And there is no appetite. But the call from the public should be strong. The call from sports bodies, national sports governing bodies, should be strong enough to say, we want this investigated because we don't want something like this to happen to any of our athletes in the future.
Tracy Holmes, we're very grateful for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Hamish.
Tracy Holmes, the host of the ABC's The Ticket podcast.